the famous duet Au Fond du Temple Saint from Bizet's opera The Pearl Fishers. That opera is about to open at QPAC from Opera Q, and it stars soprano Emma Matthews, who, as a side note, has had her stack of awards added to recently when she was named Limelight Magazine's Australian Artist of the Year for 2016. Congratulations, Emma.
Thank you very much.
And this production is directed by Michael Gow, who seems to be taking over Brisbane's South Bank at the moment. His play, Once in Royal David City, is just coming to the end of its run at Queensland Theatre. You sure you don't have an exhibition on at Gomer at the same time, Michael?
No, I tried, but they said enough is enough.
There's one Brisbane cultural institution waiting for your name to be on the outside of it. Emma, the story of the Pearl Fishers, let's start with that, because when we think of opera, we think of themes like thwarted love, jealousy, divided loyalties. Are these the kinds of subjects we find in the Pearl Fishers?
Pretty much, yes. I mean, from my perspective, I'm a young singer who's been discovered and chosen to be the priestess in this village and to be the woman who lends her voice to the prayers and everything like that. And I take a vow of celibacy and promise to just
that doesn't
be.
Sound much fun.
No, it's not at all, because as you know, as soon as she does it, there's this gorgeous guy standing right there that she's had her eye
Ain't
on for
that
a while.
Always the way? It's like waiting for a bus. None comes, and then they are take
know,
a vow of celibacy,
late.
And suddenly there's
exactly.
a handsome interested
exactly.
number.
Yes, but it's all, you know, it's very tragic, and she has a lovely journey as a character, because she's very. When you first meet her, I'm covered for the whole of the first act. And
covered with a veil.
With a veil, yes. And then the veil comes off and my great beauty is revealed.
As it is, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you listening in, I'm blinded by Emma as she sits in front of me.
And but she really becomes a woman overnight and stands up for love, stands up for her. She becomes a very strong person. You don't expect that at the beginning. You think she's a bit of a puppet, but she certainly isn't, and I love that.
Michael, as a director, how concerned are you with people following the ins and outs of this story, or is that not the point of opera? Do we need to sort of throw plot to one side when it comes to opera?
No, I'm always obsessed with story, because I hate people scratching their heads going, oh, I don't know, but the music was lovely. I've been doing touring productions for OA as well, writing the English libretto, and I'm very proud to say that people have come out of my Don Giovanni saying, I followed that, as if it was a miracle.
How do you do that, though, when there is often these stories are so convoluted and they're set in different places and names are complex?
Well, fortunately, Pearl Fishers isn't. There's a very simple plot. There's no subplot. There's no servants in the background doing the B plot. It's just a very simple focus story. So that's pretty easy. But I'm still kind of obsessed with making sure that everything that happens is clear and it happens for a reason, rather than, oh, he just turns out to be the hero's brother in the last page and you just
Who
put
knew?
Up with it. Yes, exactly.
And I suppose the other thing to look at with the Pearl Fishers is it comes out of this tradition of Western artists loving and fetishizing this imagined Orient, this allure of the exotic East, and we can't quite get away with that in the same way in 2017. What's been your approach to that aspect of the Pearl Fishers?
I guess I've made the three male characters Europeans, which puts it in another kind of category. There's a whole lot of operas and plays like Madame Butterfly and Lakme, which are also both operas, in which Westerners encounter the Orient, and it just seems to me a much simpler and comprehensible way of dealing with the culture gap, rather than dressing them all up as these kind of crazy. Once upon a time, you used to spray the chorus to make sure that everyone got that they weren't white. Well, you just don't do that. You don't brown up or black up anymore. But I think if you tell the story clearly, it becomes about power, not about race, and I think that's what I love about the show.
That's interesting. It must be a bit of a sort of delicate line to balance on, because I was just looking at the Opera Q website and the word exotic, the adjective exotic is everywhere there, because that's part of what people associate with this show. So you've kind of, I guess, got to meet that need or appetite in an audience, but also ask them to think a bit differently.
Yes,
perhaps.
Exactly. It's a nightmare of expectation that it'll all be just kind of gorgeousness, but there's gorgeousness, but if you care to read it, it's got a bit more going on, I think, than just a kind of lavish floor show.
on ABC RN. This is Books and Arts. I'm Sarah Kanoski and I'm talking to Michael Gow and Emma Matthews about Opera Q's production of Bizet's The Pearl Fishers, which is opening at QPAC in Brisbane later this month. Emma, what about the music? How did this 19th century Frenchman imagine the sound of the Orient? What's the music like in The Pearl Fishers?
There are some wonderful themes that go throughout that are just they have that oriental sound, sort of little semitones, and it's almost jazzy in places. I mean, he wrote this when he was 25, is that right, Michael?
Mm.
Yeah, he was 25, so young. And he wrote it before Carmen, so you can hear little musical themes that he carries on into Carmen as well. But it's certainly my first aria is incredibly tricky. There's lots of semitones and I've heard recordings where people really don't actually do those intervals. They sort of do an approximate version and people go, oh, it's lovely. But if you actually really do them, it is so hard to get right. And I've done it enough now that it's becoming a little bit more natural to me. But it's very beautiful writing, like lines with Nadir where I'm going up and he's going down and then we swap and it's just, they all fit together. It's almost like the music is all embracing. Mm. I think it's one of the most beautiful scores I've ever sung.
Really?
I love it.
Because yeah. I was reading that that there's this serenade when Nadir serenades you in Act Two, that it's described as musical ecstasy, the moment where you're kind of interjecting as he's singing.
Yeah.
Is it ecstatic to sing?
It is. I mean, my little interjections, I'm sort of coming up out of a dream and is this real? Could this possibly be him? Oh my gosh, it's him. He's here. We're going to be face to face and everything's going to come out. And it's like I have this one moment where there's just dear. And they're just little sort of, and you can imagine a woman just going, oh my God, that's divine. And it's absolutely that.
Mm. As you say, you've sung this role a number of times, many times now. How does it change as a singer when you come back to a character that you've sung before, music that you get to know? Does it keep on deepening?
It does, absolutely. And this has been lovely following Michael around doing this production with him, because I've got to work with all different casts and there's a different energy, there's a different way of singing a phrase. Everybody's unique. And so I feel that my relationship and my character has changed according to who I'm working with. Mm. And I'm singing at the moment with a good friend, Aldo Di Toro, who I went to Whopper with many moons ago. And we've performed a lot together and it's lovely. And our voices work really well together. We had the same teacher at Whopper. And so we have the same technical sort of construction of our sound. And to sing together with him, it's just a very natural fit. But it's been lovely, and I think the production, Michael's very flexible in being a bit elastic with moves and things like that, so we can find a new way of doing things, and I've loved that.
Michael, what's it like directing singers as opposed to directing actors? Can you tell us, confidentially, are one group easier to work with?
I really enjoy working with singers because they all want to perform. They're all performers, they're actors. But there's a whole part of their brain that's not devoted to you. There's another guy or girl in the room that their focus is on, and you have to learn how to negotiate that.
You mean the composer or the
conductor,
music? The conductor.
The conductor's the guy with the stick running it.
You've got the carrot.
And I can say, I think it'd be really great at this point if you crawled under the table and then opened the window and threw yourself out. And they go, sure, Michael, but I can't see the conductor, or it's going to ruin my breath and I won't be able to do it. So there's this constant kind of, and it's been, I mean, I did my first opera in the 90s somewhere, and it's always a big learning experience what people are capable of, but they're all committed to being in the moment and performing at the same time. So I find that, and they're so fast. They're such fast learners, and sometimes now I get with actors and go, hurry up, just get on, you know what it is.
Well, I guess
do
there's
it.
This incredible technical foundation, this mastery that singers of Emma's calibre have to have.
Mm, there's a whole thing that's already happened. So when you come to the rehearsal room, they've got it in them. Whereas with actors, the process usually starts on day one. So you kind of read it and then analyse it and then start to get it into your body. But the singers are there and they've got it down and off you go. So that's also kind of liberating.
And does that mean then that you have to have a very close relationship with the conductor? For
hopefully.
How's it going so far?
Oh, it's great. Graham Abbott's fantastic. And he's the third conductor I've had on this. And like all good conductors, he's like me, obsessed with detail. He doesn't let anything go past. So there's lots of time swapped when in one of my rehearsals we'll stop and deal with musical questions. But yes, I've had some reasonably close calls.
But the stick didn't end up anywhere it shouldn't, though. Not yet.
No, not with me. there have been a few kind of, oh, this is interesting. But so far on Pearlfishers, it's been fantastic.
I do have to ask you, Michael, because you were on Books and Arts recently extolling five of your favourite cultural things. There was Portnoy's Complaint, there was Beethoven, there was Tolstoy. There wasn't any opera.
No.
Was that a deliberate omission? I mean, and just pretend Emma's not sitting next to you.
It was purely because I was also interviewed by Margaret Throsby, and two of my choices were the coronation scene from Boris Godunov and the finale to Act Two of Marriage of Figaro, which are my favourite bits of music, I think. So I was kind of giving myself a rest.
I see. You're spreading your cultural interests wide, depending on your ABC audience.
Absolutely.
But it's not that you're in pretense in this role director of opera.
No, I love music. I learnt piano as a kid and I've always been around it. So it's just the hard thing for me directing opera is that I'll just sit there and think, oh, Emma Matthews is singing at me again. This is great.
I'll just relax.
And forget. Or there's because people always go, oh, the Pearlfishers, I love the duet. And my answer is always, which one? Because there are three great duets of very different style and form. But there's one between Emma and Grant Doyle, the baritone, which is sensational. It's a great scene. And I have to be careful not to wear them out because I love doing it so much. And it's a brilliant piece of theatre. But I have to go, no, they've done it three times. That's enough. Another good thing about the piece is that it's short.
Yes, that's right.
It's 50 minutes, interval 48 minutes. So it's not like one of the big Verdis that can go for 3 hours. It's a really short show. So you get the whole experience and the whole kind of visual splendour and the sound of the show, and you're home before 10.
What two salespeople I've brought in. You're magnificent. Thank you so much, Michael Gow and Emma Matthews.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Soprano Emma Matthews and director Michael Gow. And Opera Q's production of Bizet's The Pearlfishers, it opens at QPAC in Brisbane on May the 25th. And there are special $25 tickets available if you can prove that you have never been to an opera before. Opera Q's had this real push to get new audiences. I'm not sure how you prove that. Maybe Michael Gow is there with a lie detector. But let us know how you go if you try.